Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Today, we will be continuing our question and answer series with more of our listeners' questions. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom addresses each of these questions. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can.
We as believers like to say that we're the bride of Christ. Now, there are some Calvinistic teachings that look at Revelation 21 and say, well, it talks about the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. So when you get to Revelation 22:17, it's talking about New Jerusalem, not we who are believers. So the Spirit and a city calls. Well, no, that's not right. And you know it's not right. It's not contextually right, nor in any other way right. But I can understand why they would say that, because to say that the bride here is actually the bride of Christ and those that are saved, that God's ordained that they be the witnesses for him, then they also have to admit whosoever will. And so they like to change this thing to fit their doctrine instead of letting the Bible change their doctrine. We also understand he's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, no matter who you are or what you have done, the Lord wants to save you, and he will if you'll come to him in repentance and faith. Or you would have to say, well, God really didn't mean what he said here. God lied or whatever. Okay. Then we said in 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, it says that he would have all men to be saved. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, does that sound like God desires and as a result chooses to condemn and torture men forever in a lake of fire? Even though Matthew 25:41 tells us that that lake was actually prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, God illustrates from the Old Testament his teaching in this passage that we're looking at here in Romans chapter 9. Notice the examples of people and occupations that he uses. The first example, again, Romans 9, verse 9. And there it said, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Okay, so now, from the Old Testament, here in Romans 9, he's using the example of Sarah. The promise would come via Sarah, not the Egyptian Hagar. And this speaks of the promise to Abraham. Now, the promise to Abraham was not for the salvation of his soul. Why? Because Abraham was already saved. It speaks of a line of people through whom Messiah would come and the land that he would give them. And that land is what we look at as Israel today. And actually, it includes much more landmass than what Israel occupies today, and it will one day be given to them by the Lord. Now, a reading of the story of Hagar and her son Ishmael in Genesis shows God sending angels, and that was good angels. God sent good angels to her. God cared for her and her son, but that was not to be the line that would inherit the land, nor would it be through Ishmael's line, the Messiah would come. Now, verses 10 through 13 then continue with that thought with the example in the story of Jacob and Esau. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, before I read verse 13, let me just kind of insert in here. We remember the promise to Abraham. He would have a line. Would that line come from Jacob or from Esau? Well, Jacob. So the election here is, again, not speaking of salvation, rather of the promised land, as well as the messianic line. We even know that Jacob would have 12 sons, but it would only be one of those sons, Judah, through whom the messianic line would come. So again, we have to use just some good old common sense and just believe what the Bible says. It means what it says and says what it means. Now he goes on and he adds here, as it is written in verse 13, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Well, where was it written? Well, it was written in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now, what we're reading here in Romans, it's written over 1,000 years after these two men are dead. As a matter of fact, Malachi is written about 1,000 years after these two men are already dead. God did not say before they were born, God chose to love one and hate the other. When the one, Esau, who had the birthright and blessing, gave it up and didn't want what God had to give him for the things of this world, then God chose his brother, Jacob. Esau incurred the wrath, or hatred, if you want to call it, of God from that point. But let us consider another verse so that we understand what it means by the hatred of God. And maybe this will give you a little bit better understanding. In Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, let me ask you a question. Am I to hate my wife? No. So that word hate evidently is not used in the same understanding that you think of hate. No, it is a choice of God is first, and God is all in all. God's will and ministry for me must be ahead of my children, my wife, my parents, my brethren, must be even ahead of my own desires, ahead of all others. It must be Christ is all in all. Now, God chose Jacob over Esau for what Esau did in counting the blessing of no value, just so that he might gratify his own flesh. Yes, God knew Esau would do that before the foundation of the world, but he did not necessarily predestinate him to do so. I've had men tell me that they were going to start a business. They told me the place, the time, everything else, when it would be starting. They just didn't want me to tell anybody else, but they let me know. Now, just because I knew ahead of time and I knew all that was going to happen there does not mean that I made it happen. I just recently had some people tell me about a business they're starting and what they're going to do with it and how they're going to do it. But they haven't started yet, and they haven't advertised yet or said anything about it yet. Again, that is something, just because I know about it, doesn't mean I'm going to make it happen. God's predestination and God's foreknowledge are different. Now, God's foreknowledge of knowing what we'd do does not necessarily mean that he would predestinate us to do those things. Could we not blame all our failures on the fact that it was predestinated? Some guy that's lazy won't work. Can he say, well, that's the way God predestinated me? Somebody that is perverted, some child molester, a Theodore Bundy, couldn't they just say, well, that's what God predestined me to do. It's not my fault. Again, might be the lazy person, might be a thief, might be the child in class that won't listen, won't study, won't try to learn. And we could say it was predestined. Just as some would say Esau was predestined to give up the birthright and the blessing. Now, in short, there's no question in this passage of Romans of predestination to heaven, or that our holy righteous God predestined a man to be a reprobate, just for his pleasure to burn him forever in hell. Now, that's not God's desire. As a matter of fact, if you read Ezekiel, that we'll read a little bit later, you find that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so, we don't look at it from that vantage point. This passage is speaking of privilege here. Privilege on earth. It is not God's plan to save someone by grace, notwithstanding all his evil works, and to condemn another to perdition, notwithstanding all his yearnings for something higher and nobler and for salvation. To believe God predestined somebody to go to hell, meaning that he also predestinated them to be a sinner and to do these vile things, whether it's homosexuality, thievery, murder, and a host of other filthy, rotten sins, to say that God predestinated them to do that would show that a person has no understanding of the holiness of God, because if they did, they would realize by that thought they were undermining the holiness of God and making it something vile. And that's serious. Now, some say, but Jacob was a scoundrel. And that's so true in many areas. God has chosen men to serve him over the years whom I wouldn't have chosen. If you knew Samson's immoral ways before he would do them, would have you chosen him? I wouldn't have, but God did. Yet Samson is the only one in the Old Testament who single-handedly, without an army, without anyone helping, delivered Israel. Matter of fact, he's in Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith. So this is a type, you might say, not now, types in the Bible are not perfect, absolute perfect types, but they're types. They're something that is likened to. Well, Samson's a type of Christ who would purchase our salvation by himself without the help of anyone else, as he did that on the tree and paying our penalty and then raising from the dead. God does choose us for various ministries. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.